What are you doing in here?
Checking my electronic mailbox. Yeah, I do it on my computer, but the Commodore 64 gets kind of buggy.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a cloudy day in the heartland, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our family room, actually.
Yes, we decided to move the show from the bunker upstairs. Because that's just what they'd expect
exactly.
us to do.
So, actually, there are two reasons for that. One is that, well, honestly, I'm a little achy today and I didn't want to have to climb the attic stairs. But the other one is that we have some exciting news about equipment in the bunker. And Derek is trying out new software, getting ready for the equipment that will be arriving.
Yeah, shifting over to a new Windows box. I mean, we love Macs, but frankly, Apple, you've priced us out of the market. we've been using the same iMac for 4.5 years now. And while it still has a lot of life left in it, and Sharon will be using it for graphics work that she doesn't like to do on the Windows machine because Apples are better at graphics.
I know. See, it's cool because I've been asking for a new Mac, and in many ways getting the iMac down here. It's got a lot of life in it left.
Right.
In it. For me, that's getting a new Mac.
Right. So, you know, without, you know, belaboring the point or tooting our horn, we will be investing in some new equipment that will be arriving over the next week. So that will require learning how to use Audacity instead of GarageBand, and that's what we're trying here tonight.
And
so.
Honestly, you know, while we're at it, we may as well thank the many, many people over the last few years
yes.
who have helped us out. You know, we try not to talk too much about this, but when you do open your pocketbook and you help us out, we appreciate it more
deeply
than you can ever know. And because of that, we've been saving, and because of that, we have been able now to purchase new equipment to do the podcast.
And it's not because we're geeks at heart and we just love new equipment, which
we do,
but these headsets we've been using now for 4.5 years are consumer grade. And if you notice during our programs, a little bit of a rattle now and then, it's just because they're made of plastic and they're, you know, my fear is that these things are going to fall apart.
Our heads are the headsets.
Yes. And so we were worried that they might not last as much longer. They did thankfully survive the trip to Nashville, and I was able to get some great audio from the speakers down at the last day's conference, and that was really a blessing.
I know you are, and I'm so excited that the next time you do that, when you take the newer equipment, which is much more robust and really professional grade, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
You know what? Derek, I got to hand it to him. You did a lot of research trying to find the best deals for this nicer equipment. So, you know, we've saved a lot of money. I really think that you've been a really good steward about the way you looked at all the reviews. And so I'm excited about it.
I think we're essentially going to be able to put up a decent little podcast studio for what one headset of the type that we used to use when we were broadcasting say in Columbia. You remember when we did the radiothon for the hospital there, the children's hospital, and we wore those headsets?
Those were nice headsets.
Nice headsets. But one of those headsets cost as much as everything that we spent on the studio equipment, the microphones, the mixer, and so forth. You know, the PC, obviously that's a little more, but basically for less than the cost of those two headsets that we wore while we did that radiothon, we will have a full studio set up. So anyway, my husband was nice
enough to say that we could do this in the family room, which didn't require that I climb two flights of stairs to get up to the attic. And he is using, what is the program that you use?
It's called Audacity, and many podcasters use it. We've just been blessed to be able to use GarageBand on the Mac, which is very easy. Apple makes it available as part of the standard operating system when you buy a Mac. And it is almost as good as the software that we used to make commercials and promos and station IDs and things like that at the radio group. It's almost as good, almost, not quite, but almost as good as Adobe Audition. So, but it's a heck of a lot cheaper Adobe Audition would cost as much as another one of those nice headphones.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be using Audacity, which is open source freeware. We like freeware. And,
I love freeware.
And again, it's because we don't want to put money into things we don't have to. We do believe in being good stewards, as good as we can. So again, thank you very much for helping us to invest in, you know, continuing what we're doing.
And especially since we're thanking Ken and Kim.
Yes.
K-E-N and K-I-M.
Yeah, Ken in Vancouver and Kim in Knoxville. Thank you very much,
because we haven't been here for a couple of weeks and we weren't able to thank you guys last week. Last week was Mother's Day.
Right, and we had a wonderful visit with your sister and brother-in-law. And
by the way, today is Stepmother's Day.
Yes, and happy Stepmother's Day
thank
to you.
Thank you, honey. I just remembered it just this minute.
And it is...
It's the Sunday following Mother's Day.
A day that in many ways, I mean, for people, women, who in many ways have a much tougher role to play than mothers do. I mean, I know that Nicole in future will recognize the role that you've played in her life because,
wonderful.
We won't get into too much family history here, but let's just say that when you stepped in as a stepmother, you not only inherited a 7-year-old daughter, you also inherited, you know, a lot of things that came with me, plus the three dogs, which was a chore in itself. So,
but you know what, just to all of you who out there who are mothers or stepmothers, you know what, or who are aunts, because in many ways an aunt, you know, can fill a role that a mother can't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. So, you know, Lord love you. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Yeah. God bless you. Because, again, it's not an easy role to play. And
no, but you know what? Speaking of mothers, this is a story that you and I have been discussing this afternoon. We'll just go right out with Buffalo, New York.
It's an excellent transition. This is something that we're still trying to get a handle on this story, whether this is the delusional goal of a gentleman whose vision is exceeding his reach, or reach is exceeding his grasp, or if this is something more to this. And the reason we give this credence is because it involves an apparition that dates back to the 16th century in Mexico, which today, in the 21st century, draws 15 million pilgrims a year to the shrine in Guadalupe, Mexico. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something called the Arch of Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is something that's been proposed for Buffalo, New York, by a gentleman there, an attorney named Lawrence Behr, B-E-H-R. He's been pursuing this goal since at least 2001. And he issued a press release this past Thursday, May 13th. And we're recording this on the 16th. The press release deals with the new official plans that have been released for this shrine, and you can see them online at archoftriumph.org. Essentially, he's planning and hopes to build a 700-foot-tall shrine in the shape of an arch. Imagine the St. Louis Arch, which only stands about 600 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, taller than the St. Louis Arch, but instead of just another arch, it has a cross in the middle of it. So you've got the arch, and on top of the arch, according to the new design, is a crown.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to imagine it. You can
go to the website and see.
And we'll link to the actual article itself. And there's a video there that you can watch.
Right. In fact, the article is up at PID News now, or the link to the article, and in the show notes, of course, I'll put a link to the website so you can go to it and see the artist's conception. And you can see in the Shrine of the Holy Innocents down below, it's almost breathtaking in its pagan overtones. You've got Jesus in the front of this Shrine of the Holy Innocents, as you find in many Roman Catholic churches, hanging on the cross. But then above him is a mural about six times larger of the Virgin Mary holding an infant.
An infant. Very Eastern in its portrayal, which is goes all the way back to Semiramis, the importance of the mother over the infant child.
Right. So, again, it's kind of hard to tell from what we know at this point whether this is something that is seriously going to be built in Buffalo, New York. The proposal is to build it on the shores of Lake Erie, so that it would be seen from the Canadian shore. I mean, it'd be so tall, you could see it from Canada. And because it is devoted to Our Lady of Guadalupe, of course, it would have significant appeal to Mexicans and Hispanics who, revere Our Lady of Guadalupe.
And you wouldn't expect them to make a pilgrimage all the way up to Buffalo, unless, of course, the entire United States now is playing host to billions, that's hyperbole.
Trillions. I told you a million times not to exaggerate.
Millions of Mexican immigrants who, well, might even be legal by that point. Who
exactly.
Knows?
It's a little bit perplexing. There was a post about this at a blog called Catholic Light, and that's LIGHT. It's a pro-Catholic blog, apparently written by someone who is trying to write about how to live a life as a good Catholic. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know what to make of this. He's not sure whether this guy, Lawrence Bear, is for real or if he's a Looney Tune.
Well, he claims that he had a vision in September of 2000, and it was to build this based on the Mary of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And if that's true, 10 years have gone by, mm-hmm. and nothing is up yet. However, donations have been received over that 10 years.
Yeah, and he's received some endorsements, including the presiding knight, and I forgive me for not remembering the official title, but
the Knight of Columbus.
The head of the Knights of Columbus has endorsed it. Now, I don't think that translates to an official endorsement by the Knights of Columbus, but the gentleman who's in charge of, or at least is the leading figure among the Knights of Columbus, has given it his personal endorsement, and there are others who have endorsed it as well. Now, the reason we're mentioning this at all is because Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is sort of considered the patron saint of the Americas, has been officially recognized by the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And December 12th, 1212, is a holy day according to Rome. So she's been elevated, this apparition to this priest in Mexico in 1531.
Juan
Diego has been elevated now to official recognition, the status of being officially recognized as a miraculous vision by Rome, apparently. And now you've got a gentleman in Buffalo, New York, who apparently is attracting some support in his attempt to build a 700-foot shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is interesting because of the increasing frequency and kind of official, unofficial support of Marian apparitions around the globe, not just at Lourdes or at Fatima, but at Medjugorje, which is still kind of up in the air. Vatican, I don't know, has really officially recognized that yet. But what is the purpose of this? There's a book I've just started reading, which is available for free online, called Queen of Rome, Queen of Islam, Queen of All.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of what I'm getting out of this monument, or whatever you want to call it, that it's ecumenical
right.
in its approach, that Mary is the queen of everybody.
Right. Mary is revered among in Islam as being a perpetual virgin. Muhammad said she was the most highly esteemed of all women in heaven. So she's got followers among Islamists. And what's really interesting is that the message that comes from many of these, or reported by people who claim to see these apparitions of Mary, the messages sound a lot like what we get out of the New Apostolic Reformation, that she's going to reveal herself in greater glory with greater manifestations of glory and power as the years go on, leading to a final elevation of mankind or transformation into the next level, where mm-hmm. the unbelievers will be smited, and those who follow her mm-hmm. will be blessed and elevated and saved. And it's really interesting data point.
Well, sort of like a queen riding a world beast.
Yes, that's very true. So keep an eye on this. I don't know if this will come of anything, but go to the website and take a look at it and look at the imagery. especially in the Shrine of the Holy Innocents inside, as you point out, there are elements of the design that almost look like mini mosques inside mm-hmm. this shrine. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the outside, the courtyard leading into the shrine area, they've got these lintels on pillars around the courtyard with the various names for Mary, Queen of Peace, Queen of Heaven, or well, I don't know, Queen mm-hmm. of Heaven's on there, but you know, various names for Mary on these lintels. And it looks sort of like a 21st century Stonehenge. So it's really kind of intriguing. And again, we want to stress, we don't know how close this is to becoming a reality, but it certainly bears watching. As you mentioned now, the woman on the seven-headed beast, we got to go back to a theme that we visited frequently in recent weeks, mm-hmm. Which is the seven mountains of influence,
wait
the seven molders of culture. That's right. Because when we talked about May Day, and we've talked with Jackie Alnor about the new Apostolic Reformation and what these guys are all about. The week after our last PID radio was the National Day of Prayer. And we had posted some stories at PID News about Franklin Graham, who was the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which incidentally is not the official task force responsible for organizing the National Day of Prayer. I was mistaken about that. Apparently, it's just a group of evangelicals, mostly, almost exclusively, who organized to promote the National Day of Prayer within evangelical Christendom here in the United States. It has no connection whatsoever to the actual day declared by the government of the United States. So anyway, Franklin Graham was the honorary chair of this task force, and he was disinvited from a National Day of Prayer event at the Pentagon, because he'd made some disparaging remarks about Islam. He went and prayed outside the Pentagon anyway.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. Good on him. Good on him for standing mm-hmm. up for what he believes. However, there was something that we wanted to point out about the National Day of Prayer, which was somewhat disturbing. When you look at the mission statement for the National Day of Prayer's task force, they call upon they say their mission is to get American Christians to individually repent and pray, which is that's good, that's scriptural. Mm-hmm. We should do that anyway.
Amen.
Not just on
Amen.
One day, but then to intercede for our nation in the seven centers of power, and those centers of power just happened to track exactly, dot for dot, with the seven mountains of influence taught by the Dominionists, the new Apostolic Reformation. Government and media and family and business. Interestingly, arts and entertainment was not one of those mountains at the National Day of Prayer Task Force mission statement. They substitute military for arts and entertainment. Now, maybe they fold arts and entertainment in with media. That's understandable, but substituting military in there is just a little bit disturbing, especially if you consider that this tracks with the new Apostolic Reformation's belief that, first of all, we need to retake the planet for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, retake the planet. We need to reclaim dominion, establish dominion over the planet. Military, given their desire to create the Joel's army horde described in chapter 2 of the book of Joel, that is just a little bit disturbing. Actually, it's very disturbing, because the army described in chapter 2 of Joel is not an army of believers going to establish his kingdom. It's an army of demons.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you look at the book of Revelation, you realize that they're describing the army of locust-like demons that are that are released from the pit by Apollyon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did the National Day of Prayer Task Force wind up adopting the Seven Mountains Dominion theology as part of its mission statement? Look at the leadership in the National Day of Prayer Task Force. It was co-chaired, actually, by Mrs. James Shirley Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dobson's wife, and Vonette Bright, who's the widow of Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, who, along with Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, are the two guys who came up with the Seven Mountains idea. Now, they claim it was a revelation from God, but 1975, they had a lunch meeting where they compared notes and said, hey, God showed me the same thing. And this has become a doctrine, an accepted doctrine amongst these Dominionist new apostles.
Now, you know, if they'd read their Bible, you'd think that they would have made a connection to those seven hills.
The seven mountains, right. Yeah. The seven heads of the beast are the seven mountains on which, mm-hmm. of the city on which the woman who mm-hmm. represents the last day's church resides. Mm-hmm. I think it's really worth considering that these might be the seven mountains on which that last day's apostate church
It's being it built on those seven mountains. And interesting you say that one of them is military. And this may sound like a little bit of tangential comment, but I don't think it is. I think that the comment that in order to make the immigrants, the Mexican immigrants legal, mm-hmm. is to have them serve in the military.
Well, and that's a really good point that we want to get to because and I'll just point out one other quick thing here. And I'll link to the National Day of Prayer Task Force leadership so you can check this out. Two disturbing things about this. First of all, C. Peter Wagner is one of the members of the advisory committee for the National Day of Prayer Task Force, and he is the preeminent promoter of this Seven Mountains theology. He is the guy who coined the phrase New Apostolic Reformation. He's the guy pushing it. He's the presiding apostle of the International Coalition of Apostles, and he's on this group. Now, who else is a part of this group, and why didn't anybody notice that this was in the mission statement? Franklin Graham, we already mentioned, was the honorary chairman. His father, Billy Graham, is a member of the group. Honorary chair members, Dr. Ravi Zacharias. That shocks me that he would say, you know, I'll sign on to this, but he may not be aware. I hope that's the case. A lot of well-known evangelicals, respected evangelicals like Chuck Swindoll, of course, now I'm not get the list down here further.
You know, let me just say this.
Chuck Colson, James Dobson, Tony Dungy, former Colts coach.
Oh my gosh, not, you're kidding.
He's on the list. He's on the National Advisory Committee.
Well, you know, if someone came up to you and said, you know what, you're chosen. You're special. You're going to represent the Lord in a special way. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that make you feel
well? It would.
Like the Lord may have picked you out for a particular ministry that is visible, and that's why I'm saying those who are involved in it may not realize. You know, honestly, we're all human.
And besides, what's wrong with encouraging the country to get down on its knees and pray?
Amen.
Yeah. Except that these prayers.
Except don't necessarily do it to the country. Say to the individuals.
Right. Right. And we can't, we've talked about the theology before, so I won't, you know, beat that horse any further, but, you know, we can't intercede for people who don't want intercession.
Right.
I mean, we're to pray individually and repent individually. We can't intercede for people who don't think they've done anything that needs intercession. That's just the way it is. So anyway, National Day of Prayer, sadly, the influence of the Dominionists seems to have,
You're going to discuss that more at length than your VFTB coming up. Is it the one for this week or next week?
It's going to be the one for this week. Tomorrow night, I'll talk with Sarah Leslie, who's been tracking this movement for a long time. I'm, you know, a latecomer to this party, but she's been watching the movement for quite some time. She publishes the excellent blog Heroscope and is been following this for quite some time and has been written some excellent articles about this convergence of the new apostolic reformation, evangelical Christianity, and the political right in America. In fact, I'm going to get Paul and Philip Collins in within the next couple of weeks to talk about how this unholy alliance between these new apostles and the political right falls, you know, kind of fits into the agenda, the Dominionist agenda of, say, the non-charismatic wing of American evangelicalism, like the Council for National Policy that they've talked about many times, mm-hmm. and the family. So you've got these parallel tracks that are essentially aiming at the same goal, which mm-hmm. is a one-world government under their control. They really believe that God has a plan, and that God has called them to take over the planet and place us under their control. The one difference I see between the two, and I want to get Paul and Philip's assessment of this, is that the non-charismatic types, the CNP types, don't seem to, they seem happy to work through and influence politically powerful men, whereas the charismatic types, Rick Joyner, Chuck Pierce, C. Peter Wagner, Dutch Sheets, Cindy Jacobs, and so forth, believe that they have been called to wield the power, that the apostles and the prophets will wield the power. So that may lead to an interesting confrontation some point down the road.
But you know what? That's exactly what we're told. If you look at the woman riding the beast,
mm-hmm.
the beast puts up with it until he gets strong enough
yeah.
and doesn't need her anymore.
Very true.
Well, you know, more on that from VFTV.
Right, but another data point here. You made a mention earlier about the immigration issue, which mm-hmm. is presumably next up for the Obama administration. Interestingly, this past week, there were a couple of announcements from unexpected places supporting a path to citizenship for the millions of people in the country illegally. Mm-hmm. One of these announcements came from the National Association of Evangelicals, and another came from, a number of charismatic groups, Pentecostals, calling for a just immigration policy. And this was kind of curious, and requires a little bit of thought. There was a statement that was issued by Liberty Council, which is a politically active, considered conservative Christian organization that fights for religious freedom and religious rights in the United States. And mm-hmm. I think we can agree that Christians are finding that, you know, freedom to practice religion is more in question now than it was, say, 50 years ago. The statement calls for a just and rational policy to put undocumented workers on a path to citizenship, make them earn their citizenship by performing a certain series of actions or duties. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past, and, you know, emotionally I've got some issues with letting people who got in the country illegally stay here and become citizens. On the other hand, when you look at things pragmatically, if there are really 20 million illegals in the country, how do we move them all back across the border? How do we get them all out of the country? Can we rationally expect to do that? I don't know.
No, I think that ultimately they're going to have to find a path to citizenship, and it doesn't surprise me at all that military service is being mentioned, because
no.
President Obama wants to go into, he wants, Afghanistan was his war. That's what he claimed it. He said,
right.
I'll take this war. It'll be mine. But he wants more than that. He wants Pakistan and Iran.
Mm-hmm. And how do we do that?
And maybe Israel.
And there's a story in WorldNet Daily this past week that the Palestinian Authority is claiming that President Obama has sort of sent them a back channel message that he will force a two-state solution on Israel.
Well, you know what? While he is talking to Israel through back channel ways, Medvedev is in Syria having serious talks.
Yeah, setting up things for a confrontation there. But again, how do we give the grist and get the grist for the mill?
You need bodies on the ground.
And the thing that was really curious was seeing that these typically politically conservative Pentecostals signing on to this statement, and the National Association of Evangelicals mm-hmm. signing on to this statement. People who did put their signature on this declaration included Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, who's an Assemblies of God minister, and he's president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. And this is a guy who we've not talked about before, but the little I've read on him this past week, I think we need to keep an eye on him. Lou Engel, who is a prominent member of the New Apostolic Reformation, is also a signatory, one of the former Kansas City prophets, guy who sponsored the call, and you know he's mm-hmm. He's on this list. But Samuel Rodriguez, as president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, theoretically or allegedly represents some 15 million charismatic Hispanics in the United States. 10 million Protestant, but 5 million charismatic Roman Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. What's also interesting is that Rodriguez, last fall, along about November, aligned himself under C. Peter Wagner as a member of the International Coalition of Apostles. So Reverend Rodriguez is now Apostle Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
capital A Apostle, and thus in
He's
line,
a hybrid.
Yeah, yeah. And thus in line to wield God's authority in this new world order that they're trying to create. Which incidentally is a phrase that the guy who founded the family, Abram Verde, coined back in the 40s and 50s. I don't think he was the first one to use the phrase, but he, again, a conservative Christian working with men who were politically powerful back in the 40s, was calling for a new world order. So, interesting. So, is this why the New Apostolic Reformation is signing on to this call for immigration reform? Are they looking at 15 million charismatic Hispanics in the United States as potential foot soldiers for Joel's army?
Good question. Yeah. Good question. And will the Southwest remain part of the United States? Or, I think it's going to have to go one way or the other. It's going to either become the new Aztlan, or whatever mm-hmm. they call that, the new Aztec empire, or Mexico will essentially become part of the North American Union along with Canada.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think these apostles care. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, I think they do care. I think they really do, because I think ultimately the goal is to unite the entire world under one government.
Well, exactly right. What I'm saying is that it doesn't really matter if the United States remains the United States of America, because ultimately
exactly.
it's all going to be one world under their control.
Exactly.
So I don't think that the national sovereignty of the United States is really their primary concern, even though they are lining up with politically conservative leaders in the United States right now. They're sort of tapping into that Tea Party rage and using it to mainstream their beliefs and their mm-hmm. ideas into the American political mainstream. I also found Reverend Rodriguez's name on the list of board of directors for an initiative called the Oak Initiative, which is headed up by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. And Rick Joyner is very prominent among the New Apostolic Reformation. Cindy Jacobs is another member of his board of directors. This Oak Initiative is a member of the Freedom Federation, which is that group that put on the Awakening at Liberty University a few weeks back, which had speakers including Ken Blackwell, mm-hmm. who's the vice chairman of the Republican Party's platform committee. So you've got, you know, prominent member of the Republican Party who is tied in here. And by the way, Blackwell also signed this immigration reform statement issued
you've
by Liberty Council.
You've written a couple of pieces on this, haven't you?
Yeah, I've written a couple pieces on this to try to connect some of these dots at the website.
Because I know you're pitching out a lot of names that for those people who are really not familiar with Dominionism.
Yes, head spinning.
If this is the very first PID radio show you've ever listened to, your head has just exploded. But just in case your head is still on there,
right.
I know that you have some articles and other people that you link to that you've had on VFTV, mm-hmm. View from the Bunker. You really get into the roots of Dominionism and what, you know, why it's called Dominionism in
right.
the first place.
Yeah, Dominion. Well, I won't go into it here.
Yeah,
because
I was going to say
I could start that. We take
subject.
The rest of the show plus
and
all
there are
of next
other
week's
things
show.
Going on in the world. So
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to steer you away.
Please
from
do.
That conversation.
Please do.
Because I know you. Honestly, you've been talking about this for days, and it's because the Lord has laid it on your heart, and I know it's because it's a big deal. But along that same line, along the line of ducks being lined up mm-hmm. for the very final moments of
the shooting
life
gallery?
On Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to put it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article that just came out about, well, let me ask you this, listener. Is your town on the street view option at Google Maps?
Ours is.
Ours is. Yeah. A lot of small towns are now.
Yep.
Cars have been, and little vans have been going through for years now with their mapping technology, and they take pictures and they coordinate that with the global positioning system. Well, guess what? As those little cars go through the neighborhood, They're actually listening in on your Wi-Fi network.
Yep. If you've got an unsecured Wi-Fi network, they can look at what you're looking at, basically. And they
well,
can...
they may even be able to do secured ones. There may be backdoor, like Promise software. Mm-hmm. There may be backdoor programs that are programs that will allow you to open a backdoor in a Wi-Fi network.
And the information came out because Google said, "Oh, sorry, we didn't mean to collect data on."
Okay, we knew we were collecting it, but we haven't looked at it. Okay, we looked at it, but we'll, all right, we'll get rid of it.
We did the nose. It's really, you know, shocking that they could make a claim like we didn't know we were collecting data as we were going through taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's like saying I didn't inhale. It makes no sense at all.
Well,
they knew what they were doing.
You know, if all they were doing was taking pictures, there are those who really don't like that part of it.
True.
But the fact that they were driving through and snooping on Wi-Fi, trying to figure out where you were, you know, on the internet, what were you doing? What are you chatting? Are you on Facebook? Are you emailing? What are you doing? Taking those little snippets of your Wi-Fi conversations and putting it into a large data reserve.
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, think about Google. It came from out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a monster. It's a worldwide monster.
Yeah.
Now, here's another story that is connected. I just posted this today. There are scientists who are arguing that everybody on the planet should be chipped. Everybody. For safety. That way, if the chip can be, can use GPS, which of course is what happens in the Armageddon strain,
mm-hmm.
if there's a GPS locator in the chip, then mom, teacher, truant officer, you can go on google.com. This is literally what the article says at Fox News. Go on google.com. And just type in the barcode identifier of the chip, and it'll show you where they are. I mean, you can do it with your phone now. You can go to Twitter or Facebook, and it'll tell everybody where you are. Imagine having your little chip constantly telling the world where you are.
Yeah. People who've been watching this for a long time know that the barcode format that's currently in use on products in your store have one number at each end, sort of a start and stop code, and then a number in the middle to indicate the middle of the code, and those numbers are 6, 6, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the mark of the beast? Yeah, I don't know. But it's just another interesting data point to consider.
It is. It is.
Oh,
and the scientist who's quoted in the article at Fox News says everybody needs a chip in his hand.
Was his name A. Paul Leon? Just wondering. Technology, ain't it great?
It is.
Speaking of technology and high tech technology that seems perhaps out of this world, police in New Jersey were flooded with calls on Thursday because of a giant tube-like object hanging in the sky over southern New Jersey,
Somerset County.
Yep. It was, there's a radio station out there. In fact, I used to listen to that station from time to time when I was in the Philadelphia area years ago. And New Jersey 101.5, a bunch of calls came in. People said that they saw a UFO flying above the area. There's a picture that is online at the Star Ledger's website. It looks like... It looks like it could be a prototype design for a drone type aircraft. Who knows? But anyway, just another little reminder that this is a phenomenon that pops up from time to time, reminding people that there's something out there, uh-huh. and if you don't have a proper paradigm in which to fit this information, you could wind up being deceived.
Drone type object. Interesting that you would use that phrase. Well, predator drones are flying over other countries right now.
Right, sure.
And here.
there are drones that are being used in certain locations. Was it Houston?
Yes, by the police department. Now, right. Imagine if that is tested, because they were testing it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine other police departments or the military deciding that we need to fly and keep track of those people with those chips in their hands.
Yeah, yeah. Possibility.
Yes.
So anyway, no explanation yet. According to the story online, local airfields didn't report anything on radar. Local military denied any knowledge of what it might have been. So, you know, who knows what it was. The story will probably fade into the background here in a few days, and the people who saw it, even though there were quite a few, and it was during the daytime, and it was over a populated area, so it's not like the stereotypical story of, you know, Buford, you know, with a little too much moonshine. This is something that was seen by quite a number of people, and again, pictures taken by news reporters and posted to various news websites. So may have been something the government or a government agency was working on. Might have been some hobbyist working on something in his backyard that flew a little too high. Who knows? But again, if you don't have a proper paradigm to explain it, this is something that can really deceive you. And that's why we bring the story up, because there are people out there, believers, who don't understand how this can be used as part of the end times deception. And begin thinking, well, gee, if there is life out there in the cosmos, and the Bible says that God created us in his image, and there's this other life out there, then my whole worldview has just been turned upside down. I don't have any foundation on which to stand, and I'll believe anything.
Exactly. And we're being told
right
what to believe. So there you go. Now, I'm going to ask you about a story that you posted earlier, and it's actually connected to what we were talking about earlier with the Fatima apparition. It's a story that the headline is Fatima, Prayer, Penance, Burning Body Parts.
Yeah, this was something that was actually posted by Fox News reporter Greg Burke, who you probably have seen if you watch Fox News at all. He was at Fatima and said that while it's not officially recognized by the church, apparently, it's become a tradition at Fatima, which, of course, was the site in 1917.
Mm-hmm.
It was October 13th, wasn't
October
it?
October 13th, yes, 10-13.
Right. Where you can go to little vendors on the street and buy wax replicas of various body parts and even, creepy enough, small children, babies. If you've got an ailment in that particular body part, say you've got arthritis, you buy a replica of a wax finger, and then you toss it into a fire that's supposedly kept there in honor of the apparition or whatever. You're not supposed to be throwing stuff into the fire, but somehow that's become a tradition with pilgrims who go there.
That sounds like voodoo.
Yeah, it has more to do with pagan practices. In fact, he makes reference to an ancient Celtic goddess who was appeased, or who was summoned, whose help was requested through this practice. You start a fire and you burn a replica, an image of the body part that you need to heal.
Okay, so I've got arthritis in my hand, let's say.
Yeah, so you throw a wax hand in the fire.
A wax hand to appease the Mary image at Fatima?
Apparently so. And, you know, this was just sort of a one-off observation that he put into a blog. It wasn't a story at Fox News. It was something that was picked up by one of the online discernment ministries. And I thought it was curious enough to post to PID News. What really disturbed me is why you would have, I guess maybe if you've got a sick child, I suppose you'd throw a little wax replica of a baby in there. But that just seemed like, you know, passing children through the fire. Here, Moloch,
exactly.
Here, have another one.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, really, really disturbing.
And that you don't just jump from 0 to 60 and, okay, here, sacrifice this baby.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of acclimate people to, so that the notion of wax body parts,
yeah,
that's disturbing.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, we're going to do a show sooner rather than later on the Marian apparitions and that phenomenon and what the goal is, because between Fatima and Guadalupe and Medjugorje and others around the country, mm-hmm. around the world, something is going on.
Look, Mary was a wonderful woman.
No question.
I look forward to meeting her when we get to, you know, to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But she is not the co-redemptrix. She is not a co-mediator.
She is not the mediatrix, no.
She was not born, you know, an innocent, so to speak. She was not immaculately conceived.
No.
Her mother and father...
She was not assumed into heaven.
No, she was not. She wasn't crowned queen of heaven either.
No. She was not a virgin. We know from the Bible that she had other children. So,
Book of Revelation, do you see Mary standing there, glowing all over, clothed in the sun, moon at her feet, as we see her in the various iconography?
Mm-hmm. No, it is a heresy. It is pagan in its origin, and it is a heresy. And sadly, there are far too many in the Church of Rome who don't see it as such. Mary is not to be revered or worshipped. She is to be respected and honored for her obedience to God, but that is it. And I suspect that were she here on planet Earth today, she would be appalled.
Yes.
And horrified. So, that is something that needs to be investigated more. We've not done anything on that, really, other than to just make mention of the, you know, apparitions from time to time. You know, Mary appears in a shadow on a wall. Mary appears in a stain under a bridge. Mary appears in a burn on a taco. These things are happening all over the place. But as with the UFO phenomenon, the alien contactee phenomenon, there appears to be a consistent message coming out, or certain themes that are consistent, that are reported by those who claim they're receiving messages from Mary. And we really should check into what those are. So, I've started on this book, and I published in 2006. Want to get a hold of the authors and have a talk with them about what's going on.
Oh, you could do two or three shows just on that topic alone.
Because it's something that we as Protestants probably aren't as aware of as we should be. Just as I think coming from non-charismatic denominations, and, you know, I mean, well, you were raised Southern Baptist, so, you know, or Independent Baptist, so, you know, you're used to more yelling in church than I am.
Amen.
I didn't yell amen in church until I was in my late 30s.
I know, and you got really good at it.
I worked on it hard. I had to practice. Liturgical denomination, you know, you go to church and you have a certain set order of things. You only speak when it says you're supposed to speak in the program. And, forget about clapping. That's just right out. So the signs and wonders, charismatic movement, this new apostolic reformation is really foreign. And in talking to friends of mine who are, you know, from similar backgrounds, I think that's why we kind of put all of this stuff, you know, just dismiss it out of hand. Well, nobody could take that seriously. That's just too weird. But it's being mainstreamed. And the Marian apparitions, there's money behind this from somewhere. And it doesn't appear as though it's all coming from private donations, that there's something, somebody, or some organization that's helping to finance this. And getting back to our top story, that's why we brought up that story to begin with, just as something to keep an eye on. Sadly, there's a prominent evangelical leader who's generating a little too much attention, although we haven't seen much of this on the main news. The co-founder of the Family Research Council with Dr. James Dobson, George Allen Reekers, was spotted coming out of the Miami airport some weeks back with a 23-year-old man that he met through a website called rentboy.com. Now, Dr. Reekers claims that he hired this gentleman as a travel assistant because Dr. Reekers has had some surgery and can't lift his luggage anymore.
He hired him at rentboy.com?
Which I've not visited the website. I don't plan to, but from what I've read in the news stories about it, that the website is exactly what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the explanation that he didn't know what he was getting into doesn't wash, because apparently the ad for the young man that Dr. Reekers hired is rather explicit and graphic. So the really disturbing thing, and it's sad, is that Dr. Reekers has apparently made a career of telling homosexuals that they can go straight, that they can, through the power of the Holy Spirit and submission to Jesus Christ, overcome that temptation in their lives. And then he goes off gallivanting around Europe with a fellow from rentboy.com. So hasn't attracted much news in the mainstream, but it did get reported in the Washington Post and New York Daily News, other Miami Herald, other, you know, reputable news organizations. If this were just coming from the blogosphere, I wouldn't have touched it. But proof, yeah, I mean, you know, those on the left are pointing fingers and yelling hypocrite. And, you know, to which we can say, well, yeah, aren't we all? I mean, seriously, aren't we all?
He who is without sin gets right. That first sin.
Exactly right. Now, Dr. Reeker's trying to talk his way out of it, say this was just needed somebody to carry a suitcase. Please, don't insult our intelligence. Another fellow who's getting some attention that is a bit uncomfortable is Ergun Kaner.
Oh, that's right.
He is the...
Head of Liberty?
Yeah, and I'm going to look at the story so I get his title correct here, but he...
Is he president or chancellor?
No, I believe he is chancellor of the... No, I thought I had it here, and I'm looking for it now so I could... Well, basically, he's made a name for himself in evangelical circles through his testimony, which is that he was raised Muslim and has converted to biblical Christianity. And he's often cited as an authority on Islam. And, of course, it's a powerful testimony. If you can break free of Islam, mm-hmm. or really any.
Well, and he emerged after September of 2001.
Right.
After 9/11. And you're right. Very powerful testimony. He has been on a number of very prominent TV shows mm-hmm. and on radio interviews, been written up in many Christian periodicals. Of course, being chancellor of Liberty University.
Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary.
Well, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big. I mean, we're talking about Jerry Falwell country.
Right, right.
For it to come out recently that maybe his stories don't line up, mm-hmm. that his claim to have been raised Muslim may not be quite true.
Right.
Maybe he's not keeping his story straight because he claims to have been born in Turkey, and it comes out he was actually born in Sweden.
Yeah.
At least that's how it looks.
Yeah, and apparently a number of discrepancies that have popped up in his biographical details over the years have led some people to question the veracity of his statements. And in particular, director of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Dr. James White, said that he became suspicious after Dr. Kaner said that he debated an Islamic scholar named Shabir Ali. White has debated Ali, mm-hmm. and apparently Ali denies having engaged in those debates. So there are other things. Other websites now have popped up showing screen caps that show that Dr. Kaner has changed his online resume. So it's you know, a variety of disturbing things. And again, it's really sad to see somebody who has been cited so often as an authority on Islam is, and the jury is still out here. Liberty University is conducting an investigation, but apparently some of the things that have been brought to light are fairly well documented. It's
some supposedly literally in his own language, their videos.
Right, exactly.
Where you know, he just the stories aren't
matching
the same.
Up.
They're not.
Yeah. So again, a sad event, and again, not to dismiss what he's done, but there are skeptics who will use this to say, well, see, you know, Christians are just a bunch of liars, and the mm-hmm. faith is false. And, you know, that's not true. Just as you know, we've talked about the. With Chris Pinto about how there are those who will argue that because the founding fathers weren't Christian, that therefore, the whole idea that America is a Christian nation is false, and those who are claiming, you know, Christians are who want to take over the. I'm talking myself in circles here.
I know you are, but I'm going to have to stop you here in a minute because we're getting close on time.
Bottom line is, you know, how do things comport against Scripture? If Dr. Kaner's mistaken, then he needs to admit it and ask forgiveness. That's the bottom line.
Man up.
Admit you you know, admit what happened, if anything happened, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
How this affects the faith as a whole, it doesn't.
Well, exactly. If he's a genuine believer, then just admit that you just, okay, I was stupid. I did this. Please forgive me. Let's go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to do.
Take your lumps and
well, we're down to about 5 minutes before we have to actually sign off.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some wonderful Skype phone calls that we want to talk about. And I just want to briefly thank people who've been sending me emails and suggestions regarding my MS diagnosis. You know, thank you so much, most of all, for your prayers, because they're making a big difference.
Amen.
I'm on medication, but I really think the prayers are helping more than anything else, because mm-hmm. the medication, you know, depending on the moment of the day, is either driving me nuts or making me feel wonderful.
Well, that number to call, by the way, if you'd like to leave us a comment, question, or suggestion, is country code 1-317-489-9350. We heard from Amos in Jacksonville. Sort of. Your connection was really spotty, Amos, and we got that it was about Chris Pinto, but really couldn't get the gist of the call because the connection was so bad. So
no, and I don't know if that just happened to be that connection at that moment in time. You might try the Skype call again, but remember, we only listen to that call before we do a show, so no show last week means...
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks.
2 weeks went by. The fastest way, since, you know, if you're not on Facebook, you'll need to join Facebook. But if you want to reach me literally within minutes, I'll answer you.
Yeah. And the link to where you'll find us on Facebook is at PIDradio.com, mm-hmm. along with the show notes where you'll find the links to the articles we talked about.
That's
today.
Right.
Heard from Laura in Arkansas, Karen in, well, not far from here. In Brazil, Indiana, which is where my grandfather and my grandmother got married.
They're Brazilian.
They are Brazilian.
I didn't know that.
That's more than a gazillion.
I was going to say that very thing. Oh, you're so funny.
John in Virginia Beach said that he found us after hearing Russ Dizdar's talk show and then, you know, hearing about Stan Deo, L.A. Marzulli, and others, and kind of got routed around to us. He made a point that we've heard many times. This is hard to discuss even with well-grounded believers in your local church. Wonderful people, well-grounded, scriptural, but when you start talking about UFOs and end times deception and how there are elements at work within the government that are creating satanically charged super soldiers, their eyes glaze, roll up in the backs of their heads, and they, you know, fall over. And we've experienced similar thing. Now, I'm being facetious, of course, but it is.
Or they look like Donald Sutherland in the Pod People thing, where he opens
his mouth and starts screaming.
At you. Yeah, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you're one of them. So, John, we appreciate your call because we know what you're feeling, and that was one of the really interesting things about the last day's conference in Nashville. The 100 or so who gathered there was just a sense of joy, which I think, in large part, came from being in a room with a bunch of other people who get it and mm-hmm. who are really looking for a scriptural basis for these odd, unexplained, paranormal things that and how they fit into a scriptural worldview.
Well, and let me encourage you, because there are a number of us in our little community who I think the Lord is kind of, you know, nudging people. The Spirit is nudging people mm-hmm. that we need to connect. So there is something in the works. Let me just put it that way. And we're just sort of tangentially, I've used that word twice now in this show.
Ooh.
My word.
Say the magic word.
Quite an adverb, isn't it?
Say the secret word.
There's no duck.
Yeah.
You didn't say ducks lining up earlier, though, so there you go. But we're not directly involved in this as of this moment, but we do know about it. There is something in the works. Hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be announcing that as soon as it actually comes to fruition.
Well, yeah, because right now it's just in the early stages of exchanging, like, initial emails.
Nascent.
Nascent. That's a good word.
It's a good
nascent.
One.
But there is certainly a need for being able to connect. The internet is bringing us together now, but yeah, being able to connect physically, even if it's just for coffee, would be a real blessing.
Exactly. And yeah. All it's going to cost you is just a little tiny RFID chip.
Just kidding.
No, actually, yeah. We don't believe in RFID chips. Potato chips.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. Or RFD chips.
RFD chips. That would be good. That might, I don't know. I think it's in a buffalo chip kind of
thing. Yeah, that's not so good either.
Cow pies.
And Scott in Michigan sent us a note and asked us, or rather called in with a question about our stance on the new apostolic reformation, because we've been talking a lot about the false signs and wonders or the misuse of signs and wonders. Because clearly when you see some of the videos of some of these meetings and services, something is manifesting there, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that right now. And he wanted to know, do we believe that there are still spiritual gifts out there? You know, do people still prophesy? Can God miraculously heal?
We're really running out of time, so I'm just going to say the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
We do. But we'll do a show on that.
Yeah.
Where we actually talk about how we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting now.
Right. But God's not lifting up new capital A apostles. That ended with Paul.
See, my timer is flashing red.
Oh, that means something.
And Sam hasn't even awakened. I think it's because we're not in the actual bunker.
Well, he's comfortable. He's got his comfy chair over there.
He is. One more person. I just want to thank Connie from Virginia. You called
Oh, yes.
And you've been praying about my MS, and I really, really thank you. You made some great suggestions. And you know what? I've been looking at those same things on the internet as well. So please, again, if you want, Sam's not even next to me. He's downstairs. Oh my gosh, I really am loopy.
I wish we had video
right now. I really do.
No wonder you were so confused.
No,
Sharon's on the couch. Well, thought Sam was there next to her. He's on the chair over there.
He bilocated. He keeps doing that. But anyway, thank you for your wonderful suggestions, and I will look into all of them. But again, join me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And farm with me or go to Treasure Isle, because those are things that really, really do relax me. I got to tell you, they help my overall health tremendously, but not nearly as much as your prayers. So thank you.
Yeah. Look for the links at PIDradio.com. The show notes will be there. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new and living in the past, God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river flows in desert land. There's a new day coming, a new day coming.
This is PID Radio.